Good morning. It's good to see everyone here this morning. We're going to be starting off in Galatians 5, and I would ask everyone to start reading with me in Galatians 5, a familiar passage that we've studied here a lot recently. It's good to see everyone here this morning. We've got several of our own members that are going out of town on this holiday weekend, but we've got a lot of visitors with us as well. So we're definitely happy for your presence this morning. Over the past several months, Heath has brought us a lot of lessons from this passage here in Galatians 5, starting in verse 22 through 24, about the fruits of the Spirit. And so I'd like to start off by reading this passage again, just to keep our minds fresh. Galatians 5, verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." We're not going to take the time to go through every single one of these, as Heath has done a good job with that over the past several months, as I mentioned, but today's service is going to be structured a little bit differently, as you can already tell. This morning, we're going to look at the topic of the fruit of the Spirit, of love, and how we have a couple young men here that have put lessons together to talk about the different aspects of love. Even though there's a lot more that we can go through, there's several things that we're going to take a look at and take a deep dive into this topic of love. But as we get into this service, I'd like to now look at 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. Anytime that we talk about love and we talk about a familiar passage to go to talk about love, 1 Corinthians 13 always comes to mind. And I want us to read, and I want us to understand through these verses that love is essential. It's essential in our Christian walk if we want to be pleasing to God. So I'd like to start off by reading 1 Corinthians 13 in the first three verses. It says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not love, I am nothing. If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing." I just got done teaching the high schooler class, and we were looking at a workbook that was based on the topics of one another and looking at different things like forgive one another, serve one another, love one another. And one of the lessons was based on this passage here in 1 Corinthians 13. And he kind of paraphrased this verse in his own words here. And it made me understand a little bit easier, helped the teenage kids as well to understand it. So I want to just read what he wrote as we continue this thought. It says, "Although I talk about love, if I'm not showing it by kindness, it means nothing. Even if I attend every service, sing with all my heart, and partake of the Lord's Supper faithfully, if I do not love, I am in real spiritual trouble. If I preach a lot of sermons, if I teach Bible classes, if I'm an elder, if I'm a deacon, but I really don't truly love my brothers and sisters as I should, then how can I make it to heaven?" The point of this passage in 1 Corinthians 13 and the paraphrase from this workbook that this writer wrote, if we don't have love, let me say that a little bit differently. Maybe if we don't have the right love as God designed, then nothing else matters. Love has to be the foundation of our spiritual strength. Think about it for a minute. We go through the Bible, we go through from Old Testament, New Testament, we hear a lot of passages about love, and we have a lot of commands that we are to forgive one another, commands that we are to help those who are struggling. We are commanded to serve one another. So if this right love in our heart is not present, then we will never fulfill those commandments as a Christian, and our hope of heaven is at risk. Again, we can read through the Old Testament, the New Testament, and read all these passages on love, and I think that's done intentionally. Because in our life, we will face different challenges, we will face different people, that's hard to love. And love is not always the easiest thing. But if we focus and we study on how to love in these different stages of life, these different circumstances we'll go through, then I'm confident that we will be found pleasing to God and we will obtain our hope in heaven one day. So with that said, I want us to keep in mind for the rest of our service here this morning of how love has to be our foundation. Love has to be essential in order for anything else to work, as mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13. So now we're going to take some time to look at love in other areas of God's word through Scripture. And next, Micah will show us the characteristics needed for love.
Good morning. Today I would like to talk about the characteristics of love, which is found in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. Before we do that, let's review about what was going on at that time. Corinth was a port city. It was a busy place with lots of buying and selling going on. The people who lived there, the Corinthians, worshipped the false Roman and Greek little g gods. They had temples for them. Paul spent 1.5 years there to help establish a local church. After he left, he got news eventually that the church there was having some problems. Since there were no cell phones, Paul couldn't just send an email, text them, or call them quickly. He sent a letter to talk about the problems and give them an answer to them. The letter is the book in the Bible we know as 1 Corinthians. He told them their problem and gave them an answer using the gospel, which is the good news about Jesus. They had to learn and think about their struggles looking through the gospel glasses. In chapters 1 through 4, Paul talks about the problem they were having with making divisions among themselves. They were dividing into groups and were against each other on things that didn't matter. They were arguing about who the best teacher was. Some are Team Paul, some are Team Apollos, and some are Team Peter. Paul tells them to look through their gospel glasses and remember that Jesus is the center. It's okay to be certain. It's okay to like certain teachers, but Jesus is the top. This should not be a problem among them. Do you think we struggle with this today? Yes, we all have opinions. We need to keep focus on Jesus to keep divisions away, just like the Corinthians needed to do so. If you turn to chapter 8, we can see another problem that they ran into. Some thought it would be okay to eat the meat that was offered to a Greek or Roman little g god. They felt it was just like eating meat because little g gods weren't real. But some felt it was wrong and should not eat the meat offered to little g gods. Let's look through the gospel glasses for Paul's answer. Remember, all Paul's answers came from God. Loyalty to Jesus is a good thing. Paul said it wouldn't be wrong to eat the meat, but it would become wrong if it bothered someone else. Do we struggle with this today? I think we would be getting a letter if Paul was alive today. We live in different times than the Christians in Corinth did. But we are all people, wired the same way. When we choose our actions, even if it's the smallest thing, that may not be wrong. If it bothers our brother or sister, don't do it. That would make it wrong. When we are faced with challenges like the Christians in Corinth were, we shouldn't be the reason we. What should be the reason we choose to swallow our pride and what we want to do for the benefit of our brother and sister in Christ or a friend in the world who could influence for good? Please turn your Bibles to 1 John 4:8. 1 John 4:8. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is the reason. God is love. Love is the reason. God and Jesus are the same. They are love. Love should be the reason for the choices we make, and making love what God loves. If we only through the gospel glasses, we can make that choice. Keeping in mind of what we've talked about, let's look at 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Love is patient and kind. Love is not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It is not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices in with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. We just read a list of what love is and is not. Are you going to use love as your guide in decision-making? I didn't realize how many parts there were to love, and some are really hard. Love is patient. Patient means able to deal with things without being annoyed. When I am teaching someone to shoot a basketball, I shouldn't get upset if they don't get it right away. God is patient with me, so I need to be patient with others. Love is kind. Kind means not selfish, putting others before myself. I love extra toasty Cheez-Its. If I only have a small bag, the kind thing to do would be to share it with Sophie and Lucas. God is kind to me, so I need to be kind to others. Love is respectful. Respectful means showing care for others. Love does not brag. It is not self-praising. Love does not get angry fast. Love does not keep a record of mistakes. Look through the gospel glasses. When we repent to God, He erases our sin. If we love someone the way God loves, we will do the same for them, no matter the sin, no matter the person. When we are being loved, we aren't happy when something goes wrong for someone else. We are happy and truthful, good things for others. Love protects, trusts, hopes, perseveres. All these things God does for me. Love never fails. God is love. God never fails. I would like to encourage us to focus on love. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here to worship you. Please help us to not divide over things that don't matter. Help us to apply the elements of love like you do. Help us to love people the way you do. Thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins, Lord. We love you, Lord. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Good morning. Today we are going to talk about love for one another. Please turn to 1 John 4, verse 7 to 12. 1 John 4, verse 7 to 12. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not know God, because God is love. In this love of God was made manifest among us that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, that not that we have loved God, but that he had loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if so God loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us. His love is perfected in us. In this talk, we are going to talk about three examples of who the Bible says we are to love and how we can show that we love them. The first example we are to love is our family. Some examples of this are washing dishes, obeying your parents, and helping your brother with homework. Please turn to Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is why. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. This verse talks about how important it is to honor your parents. The second example is how to love your church family. Some ways we can do this are praying for each other, making food for widows, and inviting others into your house. Please turn to John 13, 34 through 35. John 13, 34 through 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also ought to love one another by This all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This verse talks about how we are to command, how we are commanded to love one another. The last example we are going to talk about is how to love the lost. We can do this by studying with them, asking them to come to worship, and praying with them. Please turn to James 5, verse 20. James 5, verse 20. Let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. This verse tells us that bringing someone to Christ will save their soul. In conclusion, we have looked at some examples of how to love one another. The greatest example is shown in our first scripture we read. Let's finish by reading it more time. Please turn to 1 John 4, verse 7 through 12. 1 John 4, verse 7 through 12. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love God, because God is love. In this love of God was made manifest among us that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that he had loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if so God loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. These verses show us that we ought to love one another, just like God loved us so much that he gave his only Son to die for us. Thank you for your attention this morning.
We just discussed how we are to love one another as Christ has loved us. But Jesus taught more about love in Matthew 5, 43 through 48. He taught us that we are also to love our enemies and those that bring us harm. Let's read Matthew 5, starting in verse 43. Matthew 5, starting in verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You, therefore, must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. There are several things we learn from this passage alone, and the first thing that I see is in verses 43 and 44. We see in verse 43, it starts by saying, you have heard. And then it is followed in verse 44, where Jesus says, but I say to you. We will learn from this that it doesn't matter what I think or what mankind thinks is okay. All that matters is what God tells us to do through his word and what he expects us to do. He continues in verse 44 telling us that we are to love and pray for our enemies. This is not going to be easy for us to do because human nature tells us to stand up for ourselves and fight back. But God expects us to do the opposite of what seems natural and pray for them. Why does he expect this of us? In verse 45, it says, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. As we continue reading in verse 45, we see that God makes the sun rise on the evil and the good. This means none of us are better than others, and it also does not mean that others are better than us. We are all equal in God's eyes, and he sent his Son to be the example of how we should live, and he then died on the cross for everyone. This is an example of Jesus' love for us, and shouldn't we strive to be like him and be perfect, as it states in verse 48? If we are going to be like Christ, then we must follow his example and have love for all people. When we look at verses 46 through 47, we understand that loving those who love us is easy to do. The verse mentioned that the tax collectors and the Gentiles do this. And shouldn't we be different than them? What this means for us today is that those of the world love those who think like them, talk like them, and have the same interests. What reward is there for us? If we just love those who love us, that we easily get along with, then how are we any different than those in the world? Jesus is telling us in just a few verses that we are to love differently than those around us. God and Jesus also tells us that we need to be a light to the world. We are to love those that don't believe the same as us, those who hate us, or those that might even bring you harm. This is how we are to love like Jesus. Lastly, verse 48 tells us that we must be perfect. Does this mean that we can never make mistakes? No. What we have to do is strive to be perfect like God and truly understand our responsibility to be a true Christian. When I think about the example of Jesus loving his enemies, I think of Jesus on the cross. He had the power to destroy the whole world or even have angels to keep him from suffering. But Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." The question for all of us this morning is, are we willing to humble ourselves like Jesus and love our enemies even in our darkest time? The answer must be yes if we want to be called sons of God. Thank you for following along as we continue this discussion on love. Thank you.
Love the Lord your God. Please turn to Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these commandments depends all the law and the prophets." Most people think that just going to church or reading the Bible is how we show God we love him, but showing God we love him is more than just going to church or reading a Bible, your Bible. We can show God we love him by being a good example to others. We can show God we love him by the kind way we speak to others. We can show God we love him by not wasting our money and by also not wasting our time on our lives on drugs or social media. We show God we love him by helping others when they are in need. We show others we love him by being compassionate to those who are not Christians and give them forgiveness to others repeatedly. We show God we love him by treating others the way we want to be treated. We show God we love him by our actions. We show God we love him by our loving and caring for others, caringness for others. We show God we love him by our helpfulness. And finally, we show God we love him by trying to be like God or Jesus. We will never be able to be like him, though, but we can always strive to be. Here were some of the ways we show God we love him beyond going to church or reading a Bible. And there are many other ways we can show God we love him. Like we read in Matthew, one of the most important things we can do in our lives is show him we love other people in many other ways.
So as we bring this lesson to close, I first want to just take a minute and thank the boys for all the hard work they put into it. You know, we were here Friday night just going through how we're going to sit, how the microphone's going to work, and, you know, going through the whole thing to make sure we were timed the way we need to be timed. And let's just say they were very overconfident, and I loved it. And I said, well, there's about 8 of us in this building right now, so confidence is there. But I said, when we get about 40 or 50 or 60 people here, things go a little bit differently. But you couldn't tell. They did a great job, and I was very impressed. Even from the very beginning, when we talked about wanting to do a service like this, they were eager. There was no hesitation. They're like, yeah, we'll do it. And it goes to show just exactly what they're capable of doing and what they will do in the future if they keep this up. And I also want to thank the parents, too, for helping the boys. I know it took some time and effort to build these sermons and, you know, probably pressure them to study a little bit, you know, and all those different things. But they did a great job delivering the message. But I want to close this service talking about a passage that was already read in John 13. So if you'll turn with me just as we go through this last passage here of John 13, verses 34 and 35. It says in John 13 and verse 34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So we designed this lesson to look at what it means to truly love one another. And we see from this verse that Jesus commands us very plainly to love one another. But he also gives us the why. Why are we to love one another? And it continues to tell us in verse 34 that all people may know that we are the disciples of Christ. Is this your goal this morning? Do people see Christ in you? Do people see the way you love and the way you interact when things aren't going the way that should, or when people are harmful to you, you still show that love? As we mentioned earlier, loving all is not easy. It's not going to be the easiest thing in life. But we are commanded that we are to love all people so that that they can see Jesus through us and we can be that light into the world. So hopefully today, by today's study, we can better understand why and how we are to love like Christ. So with that said, we are now going to be led in a closing prayer, and then we'll be dismissed to our classes. So Hanley, we'll have you come say the prayer for us.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, please help us love our enemies and love you more than anything, Lord. Please help us take this sermon to realize that we need to do everything that the sermon says, Lord. Please help us love our neighbors as ourselves, Lord. Thank you for being mighty and loving to us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.